You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Prescription drugs are a very important part of healthcare in this country. They are the second most expensive part of our publicly funded system, and the cost of these drugs has been going up by 10% annually. Faced with a $20 billion deficit, Ontario is looking to save money and is contemplating changes to the way it pays for generic drugs. Joel Lection is an emergency room doctor and a professor of health policy at York University. He's the author of a recent article in the online magazine The Bullet titled Ontario's Big Pharma Drug War, and he joins us by telephone this morning. Hello, Joel.
Hi there.
Now, before we look at what the Ontario government is proposing in terms of changes, let's look at the differences between generic drugs and brand name drugs. First of all, in terms of effects, are there differences in effects?
Not really. In order for a in order for a generic drug to be approved for marketing, it has to be what's termed bioequivalent to the brand name product. In other words, it has to get into the bloodstream just as fast as the brand name product, and has to get eliminated from the bloodstream just as fast as the brand name product. So generic drugs are just as effective and just as safe as the brand name products.
Okay, so what about costs?
Okay, so in order to get a new brand name drug onto the market, the companies have to do the research and the development costs associated with it. And while there are disputes around the exact figures of how much it does cost, everybody agrees that it's still substantial. You're talking in the hundreds of millions of dollars to get a new drug onto the market. Plus, the brand name companies promote their products very heavily. So in the U.S., where we have the best figures, each year the companies are spending in the range of $55 to $60 billion promoting their products, and that goes into the price of the drugs. Generic drugs, on the other hand, while they do have to have, there is some research to get them onto the market, they don't, it's not nearly as much as with the brand name products. And they don't, the generic companies do not promote their drugs to doctors. So generic products are substantially cheaper than the brand name products. It often depends on how many generics are on the market, just how much cheaper, but you're looking at a minimum of about half the price and potentially more than half.
How do those generic drugs get shelf space in Canadian pharmacies?
It's up to the pharmacist which of the generic products they're going to stock. So there may be five different generic versions of the same brand name product. So the pharmacists have actually it's not the pharmacists so much these days, it's the owners of the chain stores have substantial bargaining power to exercise. They can tell the generic company, listen, you have to give us a discount on the price, or we're just not going to bother to stock your particular version. We'll just take the other company's products because they're giving us a discount. So the generic companies are essentially forced to give the pharmacies a discount in order to make sure that their products are stocked. Because if they're not stocked, they're not dispensed, and if they're not dispensed, then the generic companies don't get any money.
So what changes are being considered in the plan to pay for generic drugs in Ontario?
Okay, so you've got this discount which the pharmacists currently in Ontario are allowed to get, and that can be up to 20% of the price of the drug. However, the Ontario government doesn't pay the discount to the pharmacies, the discounted price, if the drug is dispensed under the public drug plan. It pays the pharmacies the list price, so the full price, not the full price minus the 20%. So that 20% is then pocketed by the pharmacies. what the Ontario government is proposing to do is to eliminate that discount, so that rather than the pharmacies getting that 20%, the Ontario government will save that 20%. So it's really the discount, in effect, will go to the payer, the government, or and our tax dollars, rather than to the owners of the pharmacies.
So how is this going to affect the way that prescription drugs are dispensed then in Ontario?
Well, that will depend on what kind of pharmacy you go into. So if you go into one of the large chains, because of the range of products that they stock, groceries, cosmetics, cameras, a variety of things that are being sold, those chains will suffer somewhat, but not an awful lot, because a lot of their revenue comes from non-prescription products. Whereas if you go into the small independent pharmacies, they tend to rely much more heavily for their income on the on prescriptions that they fill, and they will probably be taking a fair hit, because they're, what's happened, when you get a prescription drug, there are really two things that you're paying for. You're paying for the cost of the product, in other words, the ingredient cost, what the pills, how much the pills are worth, and then you're paying what's called a dispensing fee. The dispensing fee is the fee to the pharmacist, and that's supposed to pay for the pharmacist's advice to you about how to take the medication properly, answering questions that you may have. And the Ontario government has frozen that dispensing fee for its public drug plan for well over a decade now. So the pharmacies have had to rely more and more for their income or their revenue on this, on these discounts that they're getting. So if most of your money is coming from filling prescriptions, and you're relying on the discount to make your pharmacy viable, and then you lose that discount, and the dispensing fees are low, those small pharmacies may be in trouble.
What's going to be the effect that Ontario consumers will feel when they go and fill their prescriptions?
Well, depends who you're talking about. There are really three categories of consumers. So there are the people who get drugs through the Ontario Drug Benefit Plan, the public plan. They won't really see any difference at all, because currently they're just paying a small co-payment for every prescription, and that's not going to change. There are the people who get their drugs through private insurance, and typically those are people who work either in the public sector or have unionized jobs, and they probably won't see much difference either. The people who pay out of pocket, and these tend to be, to a large extent, people who are making minimum wage jobs, who don't work at any place that offers benefits, they may see some benefit from this, because since they're paying out of pocket and the generic prices are going to go lower, they will probably be paying less.
Now, you wrote in your article that we should stop paying pharmacists for being shopkeepers. What role do you envisage for pharmacists?
Okay, so pharmacists go to university for 4 years, and they learn a lot about managing drugs. They learn a lot. Pharmacists probably, for drugs alone, know more than doctors often. And we should be starting to pay them for that knowledge that they have rather than pay them for running a store. And what, that's essentially what the discounts are. That's part of running a business. But we should, in my view, pay pharmacists for the knowledge that they've got. And we should pay them well, because they've spent a lot of time in university learning these things, and they're doing a, when they give out the advice to people, that's an essential component of good medical care, is telling people, making sure that people are getting the right drugs and that they're using those drugs appropriately. So we should be paying pharmacists for giving advice to people, especially people who are in vulnerable groups, so pregnant women, the elderly who are taking a lot of medications, or people who, young children, where we know medications often don't behave the same as in adults. So pay pharmacists for giving advice to these people. Pay pharmacists for going over people's medications. Some people will have 10 medications. Maybe they don't need them all at this point, so pharmacists can do medication reviews. Pay pharmacists for asking people about side effects that they may be experiencing from medications, and then reporting those side effects to Health Canada. That's the kind of thing that we should pay pharmacists to do. That's how they should be making their money from prescription drugs, not from the discounts that they get.
I know that in the practice that I go to, the doctor's practice where my doctor is, there is a pharmacist there in the practice and works very closely with the doctors. Is that the kind of thing that you think we should move towards?
Well, I think that that's a very good model. The doctors often don't have time to spend a lot of time talking to patients about the medications. So if it's, now, if it's a drug that you've been using for the past 10 years, you'll probably don't need much in the way of advice. But for new drugs, or again, for people who are taking lots of drugs, having a pharmacist down the hall is a good idea, and I think that that's an excellent model. Now, but you're always going to need pharmacies, as in the stores. So to the extent that we still have pharmacists in those stores, we should be paying them the way that I was talking about, for their intellectual knowledge, not for their business practices.
So would you say then that Ontario is moving sort of in exactly in the opposite direction from that right now?
Well, Ontario is going to pay the pharmacists a little bit more money for their for the advice that they give, but I don't think it's anywhere near enough to adequately compensate them.
I've been speaking with Joel Lection. He's an emergency room doctor and professor of health policy at York University. And if you would like to read his article, it's in the online magazine The Bullet, and it's titled Ontario's Big Pharma Drug War.